Welcome to the Maria Heller Show. On the net since 2000 and still going strong. If you feel like you're not getting the real news, if you feel like you're not connected spiritually, you have found your home. Maria covers a wide range of topics as only a snarky New Yorker can. Straight up, no chaser. No censorship, no corporate sponsors, thus true freedom of speech. Your subscription gives you unlimited access as a member of the smartest audience on earth. Relax and enjoy the education. Now here's Maria.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to The Bigger Picture, probably one of the most important shows I do all month. The Sanity Show. I should call this The Sanity Show. To actually remember why we're here and what's really important. And of course, I have my co-host, my good friend Michael Rakia with me. We're going to be discussing the Joseph Communications, his latest book, The Spaces Between, Unseen Forces That Shape Your Life. So good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Maria. Great to be with you again.
It's always good to have you on the show. It's like a little reality check. It's like you lasso me back into what's important so I don't freak out over the sorry, pitiful state of what humans have done to this planet. When you talk about the spaces between, Michael, and unseen forces that shape your life, what I find is a lot of people, especially people that are of the light, that actually live in a sacred manner, they get attacked constantly by unseen beings, unseen weapons, if you want to call it, curses, malocchios, whatever you want to put the word to it. I think that today is a very dangerous time for anybody living in a spiritual way to let their guard down.
Yes, absolutely. And I think there's some disciplines that we need to incorporate into our daily regimes. Certainly we need to examine ourselves psychically regularly as much as we are able to see if we have picked up anything from someone else. And also, it's very important to close our chakras. We get lots of communications that say, well, I believe that the chakras should be left open. Yeah. Now, if the chakras should be left open, why do they close? Why is there a mechanism that allows them to close? They close so that we can live within our own environment, our own aura, when we choose to, so that we can select what we wish to connect with. And if we're working spiritually, if we're a light worker, then whenever we send out the light to someone, we switch on this beacon that says, here I am. If you want some food, if you want some dinner, if you want to take some psychic energy, here I am. We're not doing this consciously, but subconsciously, that is what happens. So it's incredibly important that whenever we've stopped working spiritually, whenever we stop sending out light, we close ourselves down, we seal ourselves off, so that the madness of the world can't get through to us, and so that we can live to fight again another day and send out light another day.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I've taught people forever that light attracts darkness. And all you have to think about, you know, how many times do we see in the movies, you know, somebody walks into a dark room, they light a candle, and all of a sudden the whole room is lit up.
Yes, indeed.
So when you have that kind of light, sometimes people don't mean to, how could we call it? I'd call it blood sex, psychic vampire you. Sometimes they don't mean to drain your energy. They just need it, and they can throw an energy cord on you and start really depleting you.
Yes, they have a need. Often they don't realize that they've stuck that cord to you. I remember once a great medium friend of mine, Bruce, who's now on the higher vibrations, described my spiritual teacher as being at the center of a web. She was very tired at that time, and he said, you're at the center of a web because you help so many people that there are strands coming out from your solar plexus, from your center, to each of these people, and energy is flowing along each of those strands, your energy, and that's why you're depleted. So you've got to protect yourself, you've got to shut down. We all want to help. We're doing this because we want to help, because we want change, because we want people to be elevated. But we have to take care of ourselves as well so that we're able to keep elevating people, keep putting light into the world. And we have to close our front door spiritually, close our back door spiritually, and have some time within the higher vibration within which we live.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know in your book, I think you refer to this as feeders or psychic ticks.
Yes.
Yeah, I've always referred to them as psychic vampires.
Yes.
And, you know, the more I talk to people that are enlightened, the more they seem to be talking about how they don't want to be out in a crowd anymore.
Yeah.
I just had a young man, actually, he was like 19 years old, tell me that he doesn't want to go to the movies anymore because he doesn't like sitting in the vibration of all those people.
There's chaos in crowds, of course. And I wouldn't say the majority of mankind, but a great percentage of mankind is attracted by that chaos. They have to go shopping. They have to go to the cinema. They have to get the next fix, whatever that next fix may be, whether it's alcohol, whether it's cigarettes, whether it's drugs, whether it's simply being in a crowd where they don't have to think. And the field is very strong where there are crowds. In fact, we've just been recording a video for the YouTube channel and talking about Christmas and what Joseph says about Christmas, in that Christmas is a very dangerous time of year because the focus is even more on materialism at Christmas. And so people think that materialism will solve all their problems. Materialism will bring joy to them and to others. They have to give and to spend and to give and to spend and to be in the shopping mood and have to be deliriously happy at Christmas. And it's a field day, if you'll forgive the pun, for the field.
Exactly.
Because the field will react with their lower vibration and say, yes, you do want more. Yes, you need more of this. Yes, you need to spend. Yes, you need to look at this and be absorbed by that and feel happy because of spending this and getting that. And so the crowds become even more draining at Christmas time. And it is a very dangerous time. So I applaud the young man for not wanting to go to the cinema.
Nice.
I applaud him for not wanting to be with crowds. I'm sure you must have been the same growing up, Maria. I certainly was. Whenever I went into crowds, and I didn't understand why at the time, I felt terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I was terrified of crowds. I would shun them. I would hide away from them. Because knowing what I now know, their vibrations are so negative, so confusing, so discordant, and so needy. So a crowd can sap you of your spiritual energy and you'll come home feeling dreadful. Better not to go out and put your feet up.
Exactly. Well, you know, I remember, I think it was the first year that you were on the show, and it was around this time of the year, and I repeat it constantly, and you may or may not have even remember it. But one thing you had said about the holidays was that people celebrate the messenger without having ever gotten the message.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years, there's a message that makes sense. There's a message that works, regardless of religion. Don't put a religious spin on it. Put a spiritual spin on it. And Joseph says that we are amused from the soul group's point of view to see you at Christmas celebrating a message that hasn't been acknowledged, that isn't worked on, that isn't sent out, and there you are celebrating it. And he says that that message has come through universally, not just for 2,000 years, but for thousands and thousands of years at different points, because it's a universal spiritual message, and it's ignored. It's ignored, and that's terrifying.
Absolutely. You know, when I look at, you know that I cover the news a lot. And, you know,
yes.
On Thanksgiving, I had gone down into Phoenix to spend time with my family. And I looked at all the homeless people on the streets, on the bus stops, people going hungry. And I think to myself, we call ourselves a Christian nation, and I see no signs of Christianity. So I talked to one person, and you know, they give you that put Christ back in Christmas. And I said, how about we put Christ back in Christians?
Yes.
So, you know, you can't just use the word as a title. I mean, it's a word of action. It's a word of how do you live your life? You know, even though I'm not religious, as you know, when people say to me, are you a Christian? I say, yeah, by my actions.
Yes. Yes. And there's so much that we can do at Christmas. I mean, we buy presents, we buy gifts for each other. in that we feel that somebody needs something from us, or they will feel that we haven't remembered them, don't love them, haven't given them affection, and we give them more and more expensive gifts. When the most active and effective thing we can do is to hold those gifts and spend a moment putting light into them from our hearts, and then give them. Is to, when we hug somebody at Christmas, put light into that hug. If we shake hands with somebody, put light into that handshake. And to spend some time at Christmas sending out light, even if it's 10 minutes or 15 minutes, to have some time during Christmas Day when we think about the message and how we can deliver and spread that message. You know, forget the overindulgence for a while, forget the trying to make the family relatives happy. Let's make the world happy. Let's make each other happy. Let's make every man and woman and child happy by sending out the light. And not just at Christmas, but every day from Christmas onwards.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Listen, my father was that way. No matter what the holiday, he used to say, even if it was something like Mother's Day, he would say, you're supposed to love and honor your mother every day. He didn't understand American holidays. But, you know, he was raised in Italy. And it was a whole different culture for him. So it was very difficult for him. I mean, he came to the States when he was 21. But it was a very hard culture for him to get, including the language. You know, growing up in Italy, my father could speak 6 languages. But he said that nothing was more difficult to learn than English because it didn't make any sense. So you know, and I couldn't disagree with him, and he certainly didn't like when I corrected his English either. But, you know, I think about, you know, why these holidays, you know, all of them, you know, why? Why do humans have that need to have something to celebrate? And ignore that they should be celebrating, like the fact we have air to breathe, water to drink, and food to eat.
Yes, yes. When I was growing up here, Sunday, all the shops closed.
Right.
Sunday was respect for the various religions or whatever your spiritual bias was, and the atmosphere changed completely on a Sunday. There was a peace that you could feel. There was you could breathe in and out more slowly, more peacefully. Mm-hmm. And of course, now that doesn't happen. The supermarkets are open from 11 o'clock in the morning till midnight or whatever. Mm-hmm. All the stores are open. There is no Sunday break anymore. There is no contemplation of spirituality. There is no contemplation of God and our connection to the divine. And it's another sign of us abandoning that which we are. And abandoning that which we are makes us unhappy.
Of course. And listen, no matter how much people buy for themselves, buying things are not going to make you happy. Happy, I've taught people for years, Michael, happy is an inside job.
Yes.
But everybody looks outside instead of inside. And, you know, you do cover some of that, of course, in your book, The Spaces Between. But I want to jump around a little bit because I was reviewing your book last night, of course, just to refresh my mind on what I wanted to talk about. And in it, you say how we have not evolved since the fall and that we've basically devolved as a species. Now, I have to tell you that I agree with that 100%.
And not for the first time. Joseph says that as far back as he can see, and he's only allowed to see so far back, civilization has fallen twice. It's fallen twice. So since the fall, since that action that we took, that was a mistake, it wasn't a sin, it was a mistake, it was a misjudgment, and we have become so steeped in the material, so steeped in the illusion, that we can't evolve because we're not adding the spiritual element to what we do. We consider ourselves, I think now, more than at any time during our present civilization, consider ourselves to be physical beings only. Medicine addresses the physical. Psychiatry addresses the physical and the mental. There is never any mention of the spiritual aspect to our lives. And that spiritual aspect is not simply an aspect. It's what we are. Everything else is a trapping. Everything else is a decoration. Mm-hmm. So we're working, as you say, from the outside, from the inside out. We're inside out. We're the wrong way around.
Right.
We should be living from within, which is where our true universe is. We should be accessing that knowledge, and that knowledge changes the way that we react to each other and changes the way that we react to the planet. But we can only gain that knowledge by being quiet, by going within, and by investigating the thoughts and the inspirations that we receive there, having, of course, asked that we connect to the highest and the best, to the divine, first of all. We don't spend any time considering what we are. We're in this headlong rush like lemmings to rush off a cliff, and we want to get off that cliff. We want to plunge headlong off that cliff. That's our attitude at the moment. And we fill our lives with so many things and gadgets, objects, so that we don't have to think. We don't want to think. We don't want to consider the spiritual. And without considering the spiritual, we're lost.
Absolutely. Well, you see it everywhere. I mean, yesterday, listen, this is so crazy. We live in such a crazy world. Yesterday, I walked into the post office to pick up my mail. On the way into the post office, there's a little ledge outside. I see two full-grown adults sitting there on their phones. I see an old man get out of his truck to walk the 20 feet into the post office. He's looking at his phone. And I'm thinking to myself, am I living in a madhouse? Is this a madhouse where everybody is so attached to their phone that they can't watch where they're walking, or they're just sitting there, you know, in a trance, just ignoring the day, ignoring life around them? And it's really, I just feel like I'm the last person on earth, like that old Charlton Heston movie. But you're the last person on earth, and everybody else is mutants, and you're trying to get by. And I think that's another distraction from the spiritual. Think. Nobody wants to think. Nobody wants to read. No one wants to educate themselves. People don't want to interact with other people. It's just like an insane asylum.
Well, it shows the illusion in that the people that are using their phones all the time believe that they are connected to friends, believe that they are connected to others. But where are those friends?
Right.
Where are those friends if they need help? Where are those friends if they need advice? Where are those friends if they need support? And we are trapping ourselves within, we're already within an illusion of our own creating, but we're putting within that illusion a further illusion. So we're separating ourselves from the, as you say, from the nature around us. Not only are we separating ourselves from the nature around us, we are attacking that nature. The plans for 5G satellites next year mean that if 5G goes ahead, the frogs, the insects, will quickly die out. There is evidence of that already. China already has 5G. The voices of the frogs and the insects are already becoming more silent. If the frogs and the newts and the insects go,
we go. Exactly. Well, the dangers of 5G are evident, and yet they're rolling it out. Countries are fighting over who's going to do it first and all this. But I think it's another way of mind controlling the population until they eventually kill us all, because just looking at fertility rates dropping, especially here in the United States, it just looks like their grand plan is to totally eliminate the human race.
And they will eliminate themselves, of course. That's the in the pursuit of mammon, in the pursuit of the dollar, the pound. There's no voice of reason anymore. Mm-hmm. We're not only murdering ourselves, we're murdering the planet and every other life form on the planet. We really do stand, I firmly believe that we stand on the brink. I firmly believe that if we switch over to a spiritual viewpoint, we can come back from the brink. But it's becoming harder and harder for people to access or even to acknowledge that spiritual viewpoint. The spiritual viewpoint cares for each other. The spiritual viewpoint cares for the world, cares for all the different life forms in the world, and cares for the spiritual life forms in the world. Life forms, as we talk about in The Spaces Between, the divas, the elementals, the other forms of spiritual expression that exist alongside us that we have completely forgotten about and trample over. We've got to make that switch. We keep going to, you know, it's Christmas and then it's Christmas again. And each Christmas you see people celebrating, and yet the world is worse than it was the previous Christmas.
Exactly.
We have to pull ourselves out. We have to do something. There has to be a movement towards the light, or there'll only be darkness.
Right. Well, you know, your book does talk about the demonic influence, which is now on a global level. So you look at all the world leaders, you anywhere from Trump to Bolsonaro, you know, just go around the world, destroying the planet, destroying the rainforest, killing off clean water, clean air bills. It's almost as though they take delight in destroying the circle of life.
Yes, it's they are people who are working to destroy the planet are agents of the field. They are in thrall of the field of human consciousness that is set to negative. And the field is having a wonderful time at the moment because the field is getting exactly what it wants, which is more negative energy from people to feed it. It's a vicious circle. It's a dark circle. But the individual is equally powerful to the person in perceived material power. Each of us is equally powerful as a spiritual being. We just don't believe it. Or we won't invest the time in working for the light. But the time has come for the individual to be powerful, to work daily, to draw out that light energy that's within them and to send it out into the world, and to view a different landscape, to live it, to breathe it, to create it, because we are creative beings. That which we believe to be true, we create ultimately. Thought exists first, and then it creates form. Whatever we think and believe to be true creates form. So if enough of us create the form of a different world, a better world, a harmonious world, a caring world, and a spiritual world, that world will be brought into being. But it has become so difficult for us to give even a fraction of our day to this essential pursuit. So I guess I'm sure we've said this before at Christmas time on the show, Maria. It's an appeal for the people who are listening to this to say, we really need your help. You need your help. We don't need your help. You need your help. And you need to do something.
Right.
The best Christmas present you can give to everyone, your family, your friends, and the world, is the gift of light and visualization and harmony. And you can do it wherever you are, you know, sitting on a bus or in your front room or going for a walk. You are powerful. We need that power. The people who care for us, care about us on the higher vibrations of living, for example, Joseph Soul Group, need you to work, need you to elevate yourself, and then things will begin to change. But we've got to do something.
Right.
Personal responsibility.
And for people listening, and I know a lot of my listeners already have your books, but you know, you want to do something this holiday season that's going to make a difference. Why not buy some of your books as gifts for people? Why not buy them a subscription to my show as a gift, something that's long-lasting and that might actually do them some good, instead of something, you know, made out of plastic that they're probably going to throw away in a month and hate the minute you give it to them anyway? You know what
I mean? Throw it away, and then, of course, it won't degrade. It adds to the destruction of the earth.
I know. I tell that every time I see somebody.
You and I are doing this.
Right.
We are doing this because we want things to change.
Absolutely.
Not for any financial gain. It's because we want things to change.
Well, you know, we started out when I mentioned to you about devolving as a species. I have to tell you this. About a week or so ago, I caught a documentary on YouTube. I thought it was going to be an update on the flooding going on in Venice. But it ended up being about an hour-long documentary on how Venice was built. And what amazed me, first of all, it was amazing to watch that the entire city was built on 100 million trees, basically, just wood stumps. And it was built in the 15th century. And I was watching that with my son, and my son was blown away. He said, how did they possibly figure that out? And I said, because they were smarter than we are now. And this is the 15th century. So to me, that was proof positive that we're devolving as a species. And I had remembered seeing, you know, how they built New York City. You know, how long ago was that, you know? And it was the Italians that taught them how to build skyscrapers. If it wasn't for the Italians, there'd be no skyscrapers, which of course took me right back to what I was witnessing and how they built Venice, which is fascinating. So if anybody doesn't know that or hasn't seen it, absolutely look at it. But the surprising part is that was the 15th century. Then you think about people like Socrates, Plato, and the level of intelligence, Thomas Jefferson, the level of intelligence, reading, writing, spiritual abilities. And you look at where we are now, how could anyone argue that we are devolving and not evolving?
Yes, we're handing over. Increasingly, we're handing over to technology. And it's easy to hand over to technology because technology says, I'll take care of it for you. I'll take care of it. Whatever your problem is, leave it to me. The greatest gift that we have got is to realize that we are our own universe, and we are responsible for that universe, and we have power within that personal universe. And to say, no, I'll take the decisions, thank you. I'll decide what I want to be. I'll decide how I want to feel. I'll decide what I want to create, and I'm not going to let anybody, political, religious, anybody, tell me what I am going to do. And there is great power in deciding that you will view and form your own personal universe and contribute from that universe into the greater universe. We shouldn't hand over everything to anybody else. Mm-hmm. We have the right to make decisions. We have free will. We're powerful spiritual beings. It's a gift. We shouldn't ignore it. But as you say, we're diluting that ability within ourselves, and we are devolving. Mm-hmm. We are becoming more stupid. We're becoming more dependent. Mm-hmm. We're becoming more compliant. We are told how to live. No, go within for information as to how to live and live your life as an individual. Live your life on the spiritual promptings and inspiration you get from within, and be proud of that.
Right.
Be a pillar of society in that you put into society the light that is lacking.
Absolutely. Well, you know, here in the United States, we have life expectancy has dropped. Suicides are up. They don't understand why so many suicides. A lot of them, you know, drug overdoses. A lot of them, what they now call deaths of despair.
Excuse me.
And then, of course, you have religion that teaches you that, you know, oh, if you committed suicide, you're not going to go to heaven, you're going to go to hell, or you know, church that won't bury you, and et cetera, et cetera. Why do you think that, I mean, to me, it's obvious, but I wanted to ask your opinion. Why do you think life expectancy is shrinking for the human race, and we have such an increase in suicides?
Well, first of all, with the life expectancy, we are poisoning ourselves. We have fast food, we have fast drugs, we have fast everything. And there's no nutritional value in the things that we have. We don't bless our food. We don't have organic foods. We eat animals still at this point in our evolution, which shocks me. And the animals are pumped full of hormones and drugs. And are in a state of terror when they are executed, because that's what happens to them. And we absorb that terror, and we absorb those poisons. And then we wonder why cancers erupt. Our houses are full of chemicals. Mm-hmm. We don't open windows anymore and let in God's good air. We have to have chemicals plugged in every room. We mix and match. We clean our houses with chemicals. We mix those chemicals, and we're poisoning ourselves. Also, we don't have, from a spiritual angle, the influx of energy on a daily basis that allows us to live a considerable amount of time. Joseph, in one of his books, I've forgotten which one, says that we used to live an awful lot longer than we do now. But we've truncated our lives. We're living on the material level only, and that energy doesn't allow us to come to full term, as it were, on the journey that we're on. So, that's why I feel that we're living for less time. suicides, I think it's simply that poor young people can't cope with the state of the world, particularly if they're sensitive. If they're spiritually sensitive, this world makes absolutely no sense to them. And they have nobody to reach out to. If they've been brought up in a culture of you've got to be on the phone all the time, and peer pressure that puts them on the phone all the time, that puts them into the hands of technology all the time, they've never known friendship that is supportive. They've never known somebody who they can talk to, really talk to, about what worries them. They've never known another perspective, only the one that is force-fed to them by society. So it's little wonder that some of them can't cope.
No, I mean,
they don't know who to reach out to. There's nobody to talk to. We need to make ourselves available to young people in a more direct way than we are doing now. I mean, you see, we go out sometimes and we'll go out for a dinner or a meal, and you see parents with a child, a young child, or grandparents with a young child, and the young child at that dinner table, at that meal table, is on a device.
Right.
Is on the phone.
Exactly.
We were shocked the other year to see a young lady sitting, looking at her phone with an aunt who had obviously bought her a birthday present, and she wasn't even honouring the aunt by looking at her. She was on the phone. And we have to say, enough of the technology. Put it away. You can have it for X minutes a day, but the rest of the time, you talk to me. We have to reach out rather than being complacent and saying, well, that's the way things are now. It's only the way things are now because we allow it to be the way things are now.
Right. Hey,
listen. We should be educating our children and nurturing our children, not turning them into techno zombies.
I totally agree. And, you know, listen, everybody knows it's the rule in my house. The gadget gets turned off as soon as you walk through the door. Because you're either visiting me or you're visiting whoever the hell you're talking to on your phone.
Yes, indeed.
And, you know, it's interesting because even when my granddaughters were now in their 20s, when they visit, and this is, you know, this has been happening more often than not lately, they actually bring out old board games that I still have in my garage, and they want to sit and play a board game. They don't want to sit there on their phones and their gadgets. They want to interact with their family. But remember, it's how you raise your children that matter.
Yes.
But if you've got the parents stuck to their phone, like these people around the post office, none of them were young, what do you expect your children to do? Okay, you got to teach and you lead by example in this life. You know. And listen, I still don't have a cell phone and have no intention of getting one.
I've had a number of cell phones only because if there's an emergency and I need to reach Jane, I need one. But each one has been cut off because I haven't used it. Because I've left it in a pocket for months and months and months.
Right.
And the only time I would ever use it is if there was an emergency to say, look, I'm here or I'm stuck or something's happened. And that's it. There is absolutely no other reason for me having one. And this one's probably been cut off already because I haven't used it for a good few weeks.
Well,
it has no interest for me other than being a device by which I can get in touch with someone if I'm stuck out on a limb or they wish to impart some important news to me regarding family or friends. That's it.
Exactly. But, you know, when I tell people I don't have a cell phone, because in America, everybody asks for your cell phone like it's a form of identification.
Yes.
And they're like, it takes them a while to even wrap their head around the fact that I exist without one. And they're like, well, what do you do if you get your car breaks down or whatever? And I said the same thing I've done for 50 years. I pull over and I wait for somebody to stop. But, you know, it's a hard concept for a lot of people because they're so addicted, and it is an addiction. I mean, there are actually therapists that treat technology addictions. That's how bad it is. I thought, you know, the computer world was bad enough with, you know, when people were in chat rooms or, you know, the beginning of social media where there's nothing social about it. But it's really gotten out of hand. Michael, we need to take a short break. Stay with us. Michael and I will be right back.
Hi, this is Monica Sepulveda of Wake Up with Maria and Monica. You can hear us every second Tuesday of the month. We offer you solutions and tools to help raise your own vibratory frequency. And as we stay in this light of love, we shift ourselves and the planet shifts by itself. No reason to react to the negativity that's going on this planet when we're all so powerful. So why not use it every morning when you wake up? Actually, I'm doing this promotion for selfish reasons. I just got to tell you that Maria is probably the best. No, I know. She's the best intuitive reader I have ever met in my life, and she's underpaid. Check out her prices and check out mine. There's differences. Yeah, I know what I'm doing. I'm a medium. I contact people who've passed on. But this woman is incredibly accurate with her predictions. I've never met anybody so gifted. She's so wonderful as a friend, and I'm humbled to be on her show. Thank you so much, Maria. Sorry I had to plug you here, but I just have to brag about you. You're that good. Take care, everyone, and make it a great day. Bye.
Okay, welcome back to The Bigger Picture. If you're not familiar with Michael Rakia's work, or you're a new listener to the show, or you're listening to this at Gary Knowles Network, get over to josephspeaks.com. I highly recommend buying all the books. And I don't get a cut out of that. I just have never seen spiritual truth so clearly presented in all the years of being alive. So I just wanted to put that out there. You know, yesterday, Michael, I had one of my students here. He's 19 now. I've been working with him since he's 15. And I started to have this conversation because I had your book out because I was reviewing it. And when I mentioned to him about the fall, he did not know what that meant. So I tried to explain it to him as best I could. And he immediately was going to go order your book. And because I know he's a little hard pressed for cash, I said, I have the book. I'll lend it to you. And he left here so excited. He says, I'll be calling you if there's anything in here I need you to explain to me. But I said to him, once you finish that, I have all the books. I'll lend you one at a time. Because he is sick and tired and stressed out. He's 19, and he's stressed out by the stupidity of this world. And he said the only thing...
Speaking at 19 and no answers.
Right. And he said the only thing he cares about now is deepening his spiritual knowledge.
Because
he realizes, imagine at 19, he realizes that his spirituality will help him cope in the insanity that we're living under.
Very brave, the generation that is coming up. Very brave to have incarnated in such trying and challenging times. Some very brave individuals there who run the risk, unless they are educated spiritually, run the risk of, I don't want to say failing in their mission, but losing sight of their mission because there's no one to help. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I was spiritual teacher. I was lucky enough to have friends who could see, who were mediums, who put me on the right track. But I don't see that happen now. I don't see that the great teachers coming forward to help the young. And that's quite terrifying because if they come here with a mission, a spiritual mission, then their psychic gifts open up. They don't understand what's happening to them. They don't understand why they're seeing things and sensing things. And there's nobody to say, this is what's happening. And this is the discipline that you need for it to evolve further. So very brave people.
Absolutely.
I should also say that just as, you know, there's no cut in it for you. And I am so grateful that you recommend the books. There's no cut in it for us at the Band of Light either. We don't take anything personally for the books. And people might say, well, you charge for them. Yeah, we charge for them because they have to go through a printer's. They have to be distributed. We spend thousands of pounds raised by the books on advertising every year to make more people aware that the books exist. So, yes, there's a charge for them, but that charge is spent wisely and wholly on furthering the information, the availability of the information that's in the books.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm always happy to work with young people. I'm always looking for a segue to get into a conversation with them, to see where they're at. But because I have that gift, it's easy for me to see the light around the ones that are worth it. And when I see that light, I have to make sure that I take them under my wing. There's no two ways about it. And when you look at somebody like that little girl from Europe, you know, Greta Thunberg, You know, she's out there speaking on the climate. Well, here in America, she got demonized. She got made fun of. She got called names. She's been accused of everything you could possibly think of, when all she is a little being of light who sees clearly and wants to do something about it. So
and
it does take a lot
clearly,
of bravery.
Saying, wake up, people. Wake up. You have to wake up. And as you say, she's become demonized for that. That is dreadful information, Maria. Dreadful. Mm. We need more people like that. More people who are brave enough to stand up and say, this is wrong. The way that you are doing things is wrong. There is a different way. Wake up before it's too late.
Exactly. And I just think, you know, when you have these heroes that come forward and you have adults, full-blown adults, who are ripping on them like they were Satan themselves, it just makes you see just how lost the human race is.
Yes, yes, where chaos is preferred over spiritual order and harmony, where the chaos, the upset is preferred. How can that be preferable to a way of light? To a way of connection with each other, reconnection with each other, to a way of knowledge that takes away fear of death and provides a different way to live. How can that be wrong? How can chaos be triumphant? We cannot let it be triumphant. Mm-hmm. We have to support these brave young souls who have come here with the specific purpose of opening that door that leads to light, that leads to a higher vibration. We shouldn't be ignoring them. We shouldn't be vilifying them. We should be supporting them and applauding them.
Absolutely. I mean, they have a right to be out there. This is their world. This is their future. And they look at it and they see that they have very little future if some things don't change and change now. You know, at the gym I go to, you know, we're all pretty much seniors. You know, once in a while, a young person comes in there by accident, I think. But when I talk to people, and the majority, I would say, you know, anywhere from 60 to 85 years old, every single one of them, even yesterday in conversation, every single one of them just volunteers that they would not want to be young today.
Yes.
You know, now years ago, years ago, you know, when you talk to an older person, they said, oh, if only I could go back. Oh, I wish I was, you know, 30 again or 20 again. I don't hear that from anybody. They're like, and I tell them, once is enough. That's what I tell them. Going around, once is enough here. But they all also fear for the future, for their grandchildren, for their children.
Of course.
So it's almost like a hopelessness. But when I have to hear somebody who's 80 years old say, I'm glad I'll be dead soon, I think to myself, is that any way that you should think and live your golden years?
Yes, yes. And of course, what they're sensing is that there is a better place. But the better place can also be here. I mean, you and I, Maria, when we've tuned into higher vibrations, there is such a feeling of peace and love and harmony. And those words sound like platitudes, but they're not. Mm-hmm. And there's a feeling of permanence, of being part of everything, of everything being all right, of there being purpose and connection and creation. Those are the things that are missing here, because this, of course, is still a spiritual world at core. We've masked it, we've disguised it, we're moving away from it, but that's what it is at core. And these young people are working to try and realize, to try and split open that dark crust that we put on the spiritual core of the world and say, look, as it is in the higher vibration, so it can be here. But you have to acknowledge it, you have to work towards it. And so I can understand. I mean, you and I at times must be so weary, we think, my goodness. If I could catch that boat that I've seen so many times and get to that other shore,
exactly.
It would be wonderful.
Exactly. Every day you wake up and say, oh God, I'm back here.
So. Yes. We'll sit around the pool and exchange tales of Earth as was.
Right, and remind each other.
I can understand it with older people.
Right, remind each other, never come back, never come back.
Never, ever come back. Never, ever come back.
Right.
The journey is a eternal, it's infinite. There are other horizons for you, far better than this one.
That's for sure. Yeah. That's for sure. But you know, you have. It's hard to keep changing your attitude in order to be able to stay here. I mean, it's a consciousness that I had to adopt. You know, when I wake up, instead of saying, "Oh God, I'm here again," now it's like, "Oh, thank you, Great Spirit, I'm alive." And then I put my intentions out for the day. You know, I'm going to be stress free. Just for today, I'm going to be happy. You know, just for today, I'm not going to get caught up in the matrix out there. You know, you can do it. And even though, listen, it's very difficult for me to send light to the world leaders. Okay, I know you've mentioned that before. So what I did is I kind of made it where I could do it in a palatable way to my Sicilian Italian self. When I send out my Reiki at night, instead of doing that, I send it to justice, to real justice. And you know what? I know that might be a two-handed thing, because maybe what we're getting right now is justice. But I still send it out to pure justice. You know, if for the human race, for the planet, for, you know, politics, for all of it, let justice, real justice, rule. So everybody's got to find a way to be able to do something like that, because I know when you look, I mean, for me, when I look at this world, it's the same as when I was 4 years old after my near-death experience. I see it the same way. It's a hellhole. This is not the way we're supposed to be living. I knew that at four. I was stunned when I came back in, and I was like, what is this? This isn't how we're supposed to be living.
Yes, I think there's always a feeling of displacement, isn't there, if you're working spiritually. My spiritual teacher had it. She always said, I don't feel that I belong here. And I've never felt that I belong here. We're here because it's like going to work. It's a task that we have to do. But it's not how we, but where we belong, and it's not how we should be living. So it is a dangerous place. And I think you know that when you begin to work spiritually. You feel that you shouldn't be here. Well, you should, because you're here for a certain length of time to contribute to the whole. But that feeling comes from your spirit, and the spirit yearning for a way of life that has been masked and restricted and shackled by the way that the earth is. So we have to acknowledge that. And as you say, quite rightly, Joan, my spiritual teacher, used to say, every day, Michael, as you grow older, you have to sort of hypnotize yourself into approaching the day. You might wake up depressed, or you might wake up thinking, I can't stand this anymore, but you've got to talk yourself out of it and into it so that you can be of service to yourself, so that you can carry on and have the energy to be of service to others. So anybody listening to this, if they're feeling, my goodness, I can't go on, you're not alone. You're not alone, but we have to fight every day. We have to fight to raise our vibrations so that we can raise the vibrations of others. It's what we're here to do.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I'm doing it, okay? I'm doing it, and it takes a lot. Believe me, it takes a lot to keep doing what I'm doing, especially after 20 years of it. But one of the beautiful things you said in the book, and I thought we could touch on it and maybe explain it a little, I think it was chapter 5, where you say you're a blindfolded angel. I love that expression. I'm going to leave it to you to explain it to the audience.
Well, I've seen angels at points in spiritual communication. And I've seen these great beings that are neither male nor female. They are both. They are neither. And that there is this wonderful feeling of power, that you're talking to an exalted being, a being that is in love with the universe, in love with divinity, in love with creation, and has such purpose and intent. And What Joseph gradually revealed through the books, because the books build knowledge, is that great angel that I've seen, or angels that I've seen standing in front of me, is us. It's you, it's me, it's every person on earth. We are angels. We separate angels and say angels are another form of spiritual life. No, they're not. We are angelic beings. We simply have lost our way and forgotten the fact that we are angelic beings. And we are working our way back to being angelic beings in full consciousness again. So there is no difference between ourselves and the angels that we sometimes sense spiritually, except in viewpoint, except in what we accept to be true. And we accept to be true that we are mere human beings because of the fall, the mistaken action that we took millennia ago, which started off this whole roller coaster that we find ourselves on. But we can find that, we can rediscover that knowledge of being an angelic being through quiet times, through contemplation, through asking, through connecting to the divinity within, and then we start to operate more fully as the angelic beings that we really are, and we make an incredible difference to this world and to the people that we touch.
Well said. Well, you know, I think about, you know, we had snow here last week. And it's interesting to me, yeah, right. I'm like, oh God, even this. But I mean, snow is beautiful when it falls down. It's not so beautiful when you have to shovel it. But what's interesting is if you think about it, when it snows, I mean, forever, this has gone on forever. You could see it in old black and white movies. When it snows, what's one of the first thing children do? They get out there, they lay down in the snow, and they make themselves a snow angel. You know, it's as if they know intuitively, children know, you know. Listen, my son was here when it was snowing, and he's 40. He says, I want to go down and make a snow angel. And I was like, I don't want you to go fall and break your ass falling down on the ice. But there are things that, you know, intuitively children know. And I will tell you this, where everybody wants to write off this younger generation, Michael, I think they're the best generation to ever walk this planet.
Yes.
They're intuitive. They're in touch with their intuition. They don't have a blockage in their third eye. They see this world exactly the way it is. And they don't participate. They won't participate in repeating the same mistakes. So to me, they're the generation we've been waiting for. You know, when they talk about, you know, the World War II generation was the greatest generation, I don't think so. I think this is the bravest generation, the ones that are here now.
Yes, and we have to encourage them in that viewpoint, not vilify them. We have to support them and encourage them and give them everything they need to expand that vision on their behalf, but also on our behalf. You know, we have to congratulate them on having that sensitivity, on being so connected to the spirit within, to the divine within. We should encourage our children in their spiritual pursuit, because their spiritual pursuit affects the earth and affects all of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And listen, there's a lot of really good children's books being written now by, you know, people in their 40s and 50s that include spiritual truth, how to stay in balance. These are the kind of things you need to buy your children for Christmas, not another cell phone, not another video game. Sit down, read these books aloud with your children. It doesn't matter how young or old they are. There's a lot of information out there, but people have to do the homework. I know that's hard, you know, where everybody's so busy working two or three jobs just to put food on the table. But at the end of the day, you're responsible for your children. You're responsible for the world.
The love that you have inside, the love that you have inside is free. They might not, some of them might not thank you for it, and so you're giving me love? Yes, well, I'm giving you something material as well, but the love that I have for you is my gift this Christmas, and it's the most precious thing that we can share.
Exactly.
And each other, connecting with each other is the most precious thing we can share.
Right. Love and time.
We need to get back to that ethic, that spiritual ethic.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I saw a comedian... And he had a skit called Old People of the Future. So I decided to watch it. It was a short little skit. I think it was on YouTube. And he talked about old people today. He says, you talk to old people today, they have great stories. They have history. They're fascinating. They're intelligent. He says, but what about the old people of the future? And he's a young kid himself. And he just makes a sport out of, well, they just hold up their iPhone and say, oh, here's a picture I took of myself in my bathroom. Oh, here's a picture of my dinner. Here's a picture of my cat. You know, it made me stop and think, what are these young people that are so in the middle of transhumanism is the only way I could see it. They're more in their computer than they are in their physical life. What will they be like as old people, if they even get to live to be old? Because I doubt that's going to happen.
Yes, the way the Earth's going, unfortunately. But to, as I say, we are standing on the edge, but it's up to, if we remember what we are, if we remember, keep our minds focused on the fact that we are that angelic being. We are that being of love that melts away the negativity of this world. Then there's still time to make a difference.
Absolutely.
But it's time for action.
Oh, yeah. And listen, everybody grown up listening to this show, adopt a young person. Okay, start mentoring.
Absolutely.
Mentor young people. They need us. You know, I explain that to a lot of my clients. You know, at a certain age, especially over 50, you know, it's your duty to give back to the next generation. You know, it's the best part of being a matriarch or a patriarch is to teach the next generation. And to me, I don't see it as a choice. I see it as an obligation.
It is. It's a duty.
Exactly.
We have a duty to each other.
Well, Michael, I just want to wish you the best. I guess I won't talk to you until next year.
Yep, we'll be back again next year, Maria, God willing.
All right, 2020.
We'll be saying, oh my goodness, we're still here.
Well, I figure as long as I'm still here, I'm going to keep making some noise.
Yes, indeed. You and me both.
All right, well, thanks so much, Michael, and my love to you and Jane.
Love to you, Maria. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Take good care.
And you. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.
Bye. Michael Rakia, check his work out at josephspeaks.com. Spiritual truth, right in your face, not nebulous pie-in-the-sky garbage, which unfortunately a lot of people put out. I just want to let you guys know that tomorrow I'll be on Richie Allen's show at 11 o'clock in the morning Mountain Time over in the UK. So you might want to tune into that. And of course, I'll be back with my own new show either before or after that. And again, thank you for listening. Thank you for being you. And the best gift you can buy yourself this year is just love yourself. Because if you don't, who will? See you guys next time.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.